Today's daf in Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Beis. Got to put our full heart into this one because, yikes, it's the end of this wonderful Masechet. It's really hard. Tana Rabbanan, when somebody has an aliyah, so he should open up the sefer, and they show him where it is that he's going to be leaning from. And that way, he'll know exactly what it is that he's being mevorech on. This is the way that it's brought la'alacha. This is the way the Mishnah Berurah brings it. And that's the reason that we see Bedavka specifically. Here is where you're reading from. L'maisa, in many of the Rishonim, it says that the reason is that there shouldn't be a hefsek. Because like this, if he doesn't know where he's reading from, and then he opens it up and he's going to start looking around from where he's supposed to be reading. So then there could be a hefsek because of the time in between. Okay, but that doesn't explain that he should be mechuvan specifically, except that, you know, it's easier to find the place if you saw it, obviously. So if you open up the sefer, you see where you're going to be reading from, and then you close the sefer again, and then you make the bracha. And then you open up the sefer again and you read from it. So says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't have to close it and open it again. You open it, you see where it is you're supposed to be leaning, you make your bracha, and you read. Yeah, I mean, doesn't that make more sense? My time in the Rabbi Meir. And say, why are we doing this? I mean, doesn't it make it more likely that there's going to be a hefsek if you have to reopen and re-find the place as you know, that often happens, you know, you open up the sefer, now you can't find the place, even though you just saw it. So why would Rabbi Meir say that it's kedai to close it? Well, that's because we saw that idea elsewhere, but Ula explained it there, and it's probably the same idea, because kedai amar Ula. The amar Ula, mipnei ma amru ha-korei ba-torah lo yisayei al ha-meturgimai. Now, why is it that, let's say the Meturgamon forgets something, and you're the one who's reading, you're the Aliyah. You're not allowed to correct him or to prompt him for the next word. So why is that? It's not because it's a hefsek in the Kriya, because the Targum itself was part of the Takana of the Kriya. So then why is it? Kidei shelo yamru Targum katuv batorah. Says Ula, the real reason is because if people see the Balkere correcting the Meturgamon or helping the Meturgamon, so then they will assume that he's got the Targum written down. And so he's reading from the Targum, and it must be that actually the Sefer Torah, which is of course an understandable mistake, that the Sefer Torah is actually an art scroll book, and it's got all the English underneath it. You know, I mean, that's the only way people know what a Sefer Torah looks like nowadays. So they'll figure, okay, that must be what's going on. So that way, we don't want to make that mistake. So Hakinami, it must be the same idea over here, that if you keep the sefer open, so then people will think, oh, he's reading the brachas from the Sefer Torah. So Kadesha lo yomru birachot ketuvim batorah. Now, when it came to that, everybody agreed, right? Nobody was chelek on the halacha that you're not supposed to help them, the Metargim. So how come over here, Rabbi Yehuda apparently does not agree with what we said in Ula? So how does he explain that? Rabbi Yehuda, he says, come on, I mean, there's no comparison. Of course, when it comes to the Targum, over there, people can make a mistake because they're used to art scroll. But brachot, I mean, everybody knows brachas. You're supposed to make brachas. They're not going to think the bracha. I mean, how dumb can you get? So we don't have to worry about ad kedekach such amaratzas that you'll think that the brachas are written in the Sefer Torah that you don't have to be chayish for. And brachot, leka lamite. And because then you don't have to worry. Listen, remember, I mean, the truth is, you know, with all jesting aside, the Targum is a major thing because you do the Targum by heart. It's not read out of a book, and like people will think, you know, obviously it's got to be written down somewhere. So like they figure, of course it must be in there. So there people can make a mistake. And as I mentioned to you, it's like absolutely amazing to watch these Taimani kids saying the entire Targum Baal Peh without making a single mistake. It's like wild. Call it a kula, you know? Okay, so over there, fine. You can easily make that error. Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Rabbi Masna, and we paskin like that. Halacha, poteach v'ro'eh, mevarech v'koreh. That we are supposed to just open it, you see where you are, you don't close it again, exactly like Rabbi Yehuda said. So then say so, for heaven's sakes. Just say Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. What do you got to go through the whole mishmash? Same thing that we said before. There are people who get the opinions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda inverted, and therefore, if I said Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, it would still not clarify things very much. And so therefore, we do it this way. Now, Tosis points out that Mi'ikar Hadin, it actually would be better. In other words, if it wouldn't be for the issue of that it does, in fact, cause a little bit of a delay and so on. The truth is that we would like to close it and that it would be better to try to avoid it, make it very clear that it's not written in the Torah. And that therefore, Mi'ikra din tainas teisves, if you're finished laning, for sure you should close it and then make the brachas, not keep it open, because over there you don't have any chashash. So the laning is over and now you're completing the laning, which is what we do. Close the sefer, say the bracha. And what about at the beginning? So that's a question. Is it better indeed to close it and reopen? And Rabbi Yehuda is just saying it's not necessary to be chashish for Ula, or is he actually more worried about the problem of delays and not recognizing where you are? So really, Tosafot says, no, you can close it. That's even better. If you're worried, okay, so then you can keep it open. So what many people do is, in order to avoid the whole question, is they keep the sefer open, and that way the Baal Koreh doesn't get confused about needing to find the place. But they look in another direction. So they look to the side. They make it very clear that they're not reading the brachas b'toch haksav. And that way they figure that it's yotze according to everybody. Omer b'shvatya, omer Rabbi Yochanan, hagolel sefer Torah, tzarich shi'amidenu ala tefer. Remember that we had before the way in which we sew up the gilyonot of the sefer Torah. So Rabbi Yochanan made this big, you know, fuss before, and he said, it's halacha l'mashe b'Sinai that you have to leave the top of the tefer and the bottom of the tefer. You have to leave it somewhat open. Then he said, well, it isn't really halacha l'mashe b'Sinai, but it's there in order to avoid tearing the Sefer Torah in the event that, you know, you're pulling it a little bit too tight when you do the galila. So this basically is another aspect of that chashash.
Rebbe, I'm going to take a risk. Did Rebbe explain the luchot v'abimot? They didn't get it.
Oh, did I skip the luchot? I'm sorry, I skipped. Thank you so much. Omer Rebbe Zera, Omer Rebbe Masna. See, you never know, Barnea. You never know. Sometimes you can get away with murder. That's why it says, Lo'olam ha'yakpid adam b'toch beiso. You know, they're going to lie and say, yeah, we did it. We did it. We didn't. Thank you. Haluchot v'abimot, ein be'am mishum kedusha. This is a confusing halacha because we don't know exactly what these things are. So, I mean, there's a very interesting approach that Lechora has its mocker, as Barashi says, in various older Mekores, that if you have books were not the normal way in which you normally had Megillahs. So you would have your Haftorahs and Megillahs and so on. But nowadays, says Rashi, okay, so now we have these books. What is the din of the cover of a book? So that is the Luchot. Luchot is a cover of a book. Does a cover of a book have Kedusha? So it's saying no. The Luchot that you read, you put on a book, has no Kedusha. Now that's a big Kiddush, because Lamaisa, many Mishonim disagree. And they say, no, if the Sefer is Kaddish, then this is considered to be also part of the Sefer. So you'd have to treat it. You'd have to be gonez it the way you were gonez the book itself. You can't rip off the cover of the book. So this is actually a big question in halacha. So others learn that what we're talking about over here is they used to have little stools on which the Metargim would be oimed, especially if the Metargim is a little kid, such as the Minig became. So they gave him a little stool to stand on. So that was the luchot. They're part of the dinim of the kedusha of the Beit HaKnesset, but they are not part of the dinim of the actual kedusha of the kriya. And the same thing is true of the bima. The bima does not mean the bima where we put the Sefer Torah on, because we saw before that anything that you put the Sefer Torah on directly. And remember, Rava said, I used to think that it didn't have kedusha, but then I realized that sometimes the Sefer itself is put on the bima. So what it's referring to over here, says Rashi, is the bima like we find by Ezra, that they built this bima for him to stand on, or the Mishnah that describes the bima that the Melech stands on during Hakel. So those things are meant for standing on B'Shas HaKriya, but they're not a direct tashmish of the kedusha of the Sefer Torah, and because of that, they do not have a kedusha of kedusha that's mechayev the inyan of the kedushas haguf. Amrav Shvati, Amrav Yochanan, Hagolel Sefer Torah, Tzorech Shamidenu Al HaTefer. So you have to make sure that the seam is between the two sides of the Sefer that you're pulling against each other. Because that way, if you pull tightly, you're not going to tear an actual piece of the parchment. The Omer of Shvatia, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Hagolel Sefer Torah, Gololo mi Bachutz, the Eno Gololo mi Bifnim. So what we're talking about over here, I mean, the simple approach is understanding it, as Rashi explains, that the derech of Galila in his time is that you take the Sefer, you put it on your lap, and then you roll it up on your lap. So because of that, if you're going to roll on the part of the Sefer that is closest to you, then there's a very good chance that the other side of the Sefer will fall off your lap, because you're moving the part that is close to you. So that's not the way to do it. So then what you want to do is you want to roll it to the place that you're holding which is away from you. So that's not going to happen. Kishuma hadko, but then when you're coming to tighten it, you've gotten to the place where you want it to land. That was the way in which they did the Galila. How about when you're doing the end of the Galila process, the end of the laning, and you're coming to make it tight? So then mahatko mi bifnim, the inu mahatko mi bachutz. Now, this is very interesting, because apparently the way the Rashi understands it is that since there's an inyan, that where you do what we call hagba, Gemara doesn't mention a hagba. There's no such thing as a hagba. There's only a Galila in the Gemara. So the question is what you do when you expose the writing of the Sefer Torah, that is B'Shas Galila. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah says that the Hagba and the Galila is really one thing, because you lift up the Sefer and then you're supposed to roll it closed, the way we do it in the Sfarim, that have a much easier situation, which they hold the Sefer Torah open and then close it, and then that itself is the Galila. But it's clear why it would all be one thing. You can't have a separate Galila if you're holding the Sefer in that way. But it used to be that Hagba and Galila was one thing. So then if that were the case, in Rashi's case, the exposure of the Ktav is while you are doing this Galila on your lap. And everybody's supposed to see how it is that you're moving the Sefer. So if you put your hands over the Sefer in order to continue moving the outside, then you're going to be covering over the writing. And covering over the writing, one of the main purposes is to expose the Sefer Torah where everybody can say Vezot HaTorah and so on. So then, of course, you want to make sure that you keep your hands as close as you can to your body and not cover the Ktav. In any event, however it's done, the Yesodos of what we're talking about are clear, and they need to be applied according to the way it is that the minig is to actually deal with the Sefer, and the way that you have the physical Sefer constructed. Always be careful that there shouldn't be a chashash of something falling while you're moving one side, and always make certain that when you're doing the time of the Galila, which we do during Hagba, that it should be exposing the Ksav to the Tzibur. And because of that, there's also an inyan to turn completely around, which people don't do. They'll pick up the Sefer, they'll hold it up, and then they'll sit down. And that's not right. You're supposed to make certain that wherever there are people in the Beit HaKnesset, that they are going to see that Ktav. And if you're doing that in the middle of the shul, then you're supposed to turn completely around in order that everybody should see that Ktav. Now, furthermore, Omer Rav Shvati, Omer Rav Yochanan, Asara shekaru betorah, Hagadol shebehem golel sefer Torah. So you have 10 people that got aliyahs. The one who is golel, which in our terms would be the magbia, he should do that galila. Possibly. We'll see. There's a machlokas actually about whether if you separate them under the galila is more chashev than the hagba. By the way, I mean, this whole sugya is, what's with the pinkies? I'm glad to hear that Ira is with us, because he's had this look on his face of utter boredom trying to figure out how do you speed up the voice when it's only been created then. And he's got this amazing idea for an app, and I could see he's been working on that app all morning. So if we're still talking about the pinkies, then there's a good reason for it. By the way, there is a remez, as those of you who are familiar with the power of one, about pinkies in today's daf, right? Where is there a remez about pinkies in today's daf? Come on, Alon. It's the binyan zekanim, the stira zekanim. That's pinky Borman. You give a black man a finger and he takes your hand. Okay. Anyway, I see I got some smiles from South Africa at least. All right. So anyway, what's with the pinkies? So the Indian of the pinkies is normally when you say vizot. So vizot, we say that like on the zeh kele ve'anveu. So the Medrash says that these were the little children that in utero were pointing because they said zeh, and they were able to see the shchina, the gilui of the shchina on the yam. So when you say vizot ha-Torah, it means there's a getter of pointing. But when you point, as your mommy told you, don't point. It's not polite. So if you point, it seems to be like you're putting yourself up there and, you know, you can point out the things. So because of that, we put down your index finger and we put out your pinky. It should be a remez that you don't want to point, but because of it, you're still saying vizosa there. All right. Anyway, if you come up with that app, I'd be happy to implant it.
I'll just send Rebbe some extra strong coffee. Maybe that will...
That's a very big problem, because I can't drink coffee because of these stupid headaches. It's a disaster. If I could, then we could cut down the speed of Yomi by 50%.
God forbid. Do we enjoy the time with Rebbe? Rebbe, take your time. We enjoy it. Ira, hang in there, bro. You good?
Yeah, look at Ira's face. You'll see, boy, my heart's beating all the time. Oh, my God. Why can't I go faster? Okay. So anyway, so the Golel, this is so different than we do things, right? Like we have all of our kibunim, our mamish backwards. So over here it's Hagolel Notel Sachar Kulam, because the Amar of Yishuv and Levi, Asara Kosh Karu Betorah, the one who does Galila, he gets everybody's Sachar. What? What do you mean? He takes away the Sachar? Sachar Kulam Sakadaitach? No, it doesn't take their Sachar. His Sachar is connected all of the people who were Kore. So it's like if 10 people were Kore, it's as if he was Kore himself with 10 separate aliyahs. That's how Choshev it is. So this is like, wow, the Gadol takes Galila, the Golel takes the Sachar Kulam. I mean, this is mamish unbelievable. And in fact, even though the Mishnah Berurah says that the Golel includes the Hagba, where the Chazon Ish says that even if it's two separate things, the same way that there's a din of mekabel schar keneged kulam is certainly still true on the golel, even if there's a separate hagba. So, and there are many rishonim who learn that golel means no, dafka, only the golel. And so, I mean, the question is, why, in fact, do we no longer give the kovod of galila to the golel? I mean, it's like very, very strange. And it's interesting that the minag of the various dairis was that the gadol, the grav, for instance, would always take hagba. That was his aliyah. They used to give him hagba. Of course, if you've got the muscles of the grav, it's no wonder that you would take hagba. Remember what they say about the story of the grav, that everybody is talmidim tainit. You don't sleep at night. You get away with like 2 hours of sleep. So why can't we do the same thing? It's an amazing story. So the Gra challenged them to an arm wrestle. He smashed every one of them, like instantly. So he said to them, when you're able to defeat me in an arm wrestle, then you'll be able to sleep 2 hours a night like me. Unbelievable. And this was a man like who learned 24 hours a day. Amazing story. But anyway, so he used to take Agva all the time. Now, so it's very interesting that there's a whole different approach to what Golel means, because there are Pirushim and the Ga'enim, Rabbeinu Chananel, that the meaning of the Golel, even the Rambam is mashed this way. Golel doesn't mean to do the Galila. Golel means the last one to read the Sefer, who then closes the Sefer, so to speak, after the Kriya. That's called the Golel. So he's the one that is sort of, it's like a Siyam. So he's making a Siyam. So because of that, it's the most Choshev Aliyah. And the truth is that used to be the Minhag. Among the Ashkenazim, that was the Minhag, not only literally in Germany and Ireland, but that was the Minhag in France as well. Always the one who did the Kriya was the last Kriya, the Shvi. He was the one who did Galila after the Maftir. And I mean, for sure, we find that they always would give the Aliyah, the most Choshevah Aliyah, to the Rav, to the whoever was the Gadol at the time. And this was true all over. This was not only the Minhag of Ashkenazim. This was in Teman. This was in Sfarad. Always the Gadol was given the last Aliyah, which is Shvi, which we don't have that. Why is that true? I mean, the Beis Yosef brings that he saw this, that this is the way it always was. This is brought by Halacha. Mamish, the Magen Avraham brings this, the Prima Gadim brings this, the Taimanim still do this, the Parsiim still do this. So that would all be because of our Gemara, that the Golel really means the Shvi. So the question is, like, why in fact do we not do that? So it turns out, apparently, that there was a minhag because of the fact that the Galila was so chashuv that they used to sell the Galila. And that would be like the main income of the shul. So because of that, it was dafka, the Rav was very mechabed that. So they gave the Rav Shvi and they gave the Galila to someone who would buy it. And then what happened is that the Arizal, this is very interesting, the Arizal said, and they brought the Talmidim of the Arizal, wrote this down, that Hashvi Garua Mikulam. Okay. So Alpi Kabbalah, he said the seventh Aliyah is the worst Aliyah. Okay. So then people didn't want to take the Shvi. So then they started doing Shishi. But the reason they did Shishi is because the Zohar says that Shishi is the most Mechubad because it's connected to Yesod and Yosef HaTzadik and so on. So they started giving Shishi. It's fascinating how this developed. They started giving Shishi after the time of the Arizal. And there's also also brought in the Zohar, but it's the Medrash HaNe'elam, it's not the Zohar, who says that the Maftir is the best. So that became the Minhag. And therefore, they started giving the Galila to be Mechanech Kitanim of all things. So, I mean, if you want to see how a minhag develops, that is so different than the way that it used to be. It's absolutely astonishing. So the most flush of a thing is now given to the kids. And like the thing that everybody like was dying to get, which would be Aliyahs, now they won't even take it because it's not good enough for them. Oh, don't ask. So, fine. Omer Shvati, Omer Biyochan. Minayin Shemishtamshim Bebat Kol. If you hear a voice that comes from behind you and it's saying, this is the Derech Hashem Telchu Bai, you can listen to that Paschal. And that's the remez in the Pasuk. But this is only if you're not just Tom overhearing people somewhere. I mean, if you hear the voice of a man who's supposed to be outdoors and working, and you hear him in the middle of the field of the city, or you hear a woman's voice in the field. So that is not normal to hear. So it must be the voice of a Basco. Now, this is the reason they say that you can select Siri to be a male voice or a female voice. because after all, that is the current Baskol, right? So that tells you, like in the Waze voice, make a left right off of this bridge. And sure enough, you make the left right off of this bridge. How many people have drowned because of because of that voice? V'hu di amar hein hein, v'hu di amar lav lav. It also has to be repeated. Not just you're thinking about, maybe I should go here. And you hear a voice saying, yes, that's not enough. And I say, yes, yes. Anyway, it's very interesting that in the Yerushalmi, it brings a lot of meisim about Baskol, and none of them are Baskols min ha-shamayim. They're all Baskols from people. But the way that the Yerushalmi apparently understands Baskol is that when you have this insane coincidence of somebody doing something that you were just thinking about, and they're not doing it with any kavana of their own, and it was just as if, you know, where the oracle, so to speak, in Harry Potter, you can only tell that it's real when she has no idea what she's saying, right? Ah, so maybe that was really a real prophecy. So somebody's saying something and has no idea why they're saying it, what it was none of their business, and so on. They're just talking about something, and it matches what you're looking for. Those were the cases of what we call a Baskol in the Yerushalmi. So it's not quite clear what's going on. The Omer of Shvatya, Omer of Yochanan. Now, this is for the Rebbe, and he's been waiting for this Gemara for a very long time. Kol hakurei b'lo ni'ima. If you read from the Torah without music, or this means without the correct tamim, of course, or if you read Mishnayos without music, so then, alava katuv omer, gam ani natati lem chukim lo tovim u'mishpatim lo yichyubam. I gave them chukim that are meaningless, they're bad, mishpatim, that don't work, because these people have no ability to be misameach with the divrei Torah. That is an incredible levush. And this, it actually, if you look it up on the internet, you'll see that there are mamish such sforim, that he says, the Shalom brings us, that he says that he saw old Sifrei Mishnayos that had ta'amim on the Mishnah, and that each Mishnah had a special song that way you would be able to remember the Mishnah also, so that when you were a kid, you learned all their Mishnayos according to a song, and because of that, it would stick in your memory, besides what the Gemara is saying over here. So you had to know the ta'amim of the Mishnayos. Can you imagine? And there's a Tiferes Yisrael, which a lot of people make fun of, but there's a Tiferes Yisrael that says, so if you have a problem in the girsa of a Mishnah, right? So the Mishnah ends up in Chisuri Mechasra, or it seems to be a question, why do we have this extra bava that we don't really need? So if you find the teretz, fine. But if you don't find the teretz, the answer is obvious. You had to match the words of the Mishnah to the songs, and they were having, Gilbert was having problems with Sullivan, and therefore they ended up writing the Mishnah in such a way that it would make a better Broadway production. So because of that, people would remember the Mishnah. Anyways, if you don't know how to sing the song, then what kind of Torah is that? Maskifla Abaye. I mean, come on. I mean, that's not fair. There are people who are tone deaf. I mean, there are people who have horrible voices. They may be very full of the simcha of the Torah, and they're rejoicing in their learning, but they can't express it. I mean, you can't say that just because mandalo yada levesume kala, a guy who's unable to make a nice song. Okay, it's true he's got a problem, and I understand that maybe he could do teshuva, and maybe if his mind was working properly and he was able to be mischaber properly to the Kol Hashem, maybe he would end up with a beautiful voice like Hashem is Yaneo al Dvar HaKol, we say. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped Moshe Rabbeinu and gave him that voice. So that's true, but you can't say that because he currently doesn't know how to sing. So because of that, you're going to say, Chas v'chalila, what is learning is Mishpatim lo yichyubam. He can't live with the Mishpatei HaTorah. I mean, you're overdoing it. Now, this has been a big machlokas between the Rebbe and Moshe Forman. You know, they're canceling at each other. I mean, is it really true that it's Mishpatim lo yichyuvem, the way the Rebbe exaggerates, and the Rebbe gives voice lessons to Moshe Forman? Anyway, so basically, it seems unfair, Tainas Abaye. So therefore, says Abaye, the real meaning of that pasuk is chukim lo tovim, mishpatim lo yefyubem. That Rav Mesharshia said what that means. And it is possible to be learning a Torah that is lo yefyubem. Suppose you have shnei talmidei chachamim that are yoshvim bi'ir achat. Ve'inochin zeh lezeh b'halacha. So you have two talmidei chachamim, and they won't discuss the psak halacha with one another. So then, aleihem ha'katuv omer, gam ani natati lahem chukim lo tovim u'mishpatim lo yechyubem. Because since the only way that you can arrive at a clear psak is by fighting it out, so you have to have the back and forth with a chaver. And if they insist on giving a psak and they're not going to talk with each other but for halacha, so then that's like a tera that is lo yechyubem, because those mishpatim will not be accurate mishpatim. That's how many understand it. I mean, the deeper sense is that the tera itself is the mokar of sholem. And that's the Tamir Chachomim Marbim Shalom Ba'elam. So that if you have Shnei Tamir Chachomim that are not Neuchin in the Divrei Shalom themselves, so then there's a Rechuk from the Chias of the Torah. Omer Rabbi Parnach, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Ochez Sefer Torah Aron, Nikbar Aron. Somebody who holds a Sefer Torah, that Pash, this isn't there. There are even some that actually understand it that way, that he was holding the Sefer Torah naked. And that's insulting to the Sefer Torah. And because of that, he's buried naked. Most of the Rish, almost, I say most, 99% of the Mefarshim understand the word naked means his hand is naked. Meaning that since we were Goyzer Tuma on the Yadayim, and even if we hadn't been Goyzer Tuma on the Yadayim, Yadayim Askaniot saying, you never know what your hands touch. So what do you want to do? You want to give the Sefer Torah COVID? So you keep your hands off of the actual cloth of the Sefer Torah. And that way, that's the covenant of the Torah. And even if you know that your hands are clean and you just wash them and so on and so forth, that was just the hanhaga. That was the correct hanhaga. You don't touch a Sefer Torah directly. So even if you have to move the parchment at the time that you're doing the Galila, Stephen, you're falling asleep. Even if you have to move the parchment, you don't touch the parchment itself. You take the mantle and you, or the ritzua and you lift it up. And if somebody does that, he'll be buried without tachrichin. I mean, that's really the emes amida keneged mida for touching the parchment directly in order to fix it. I mean, it seems a little bit exaggerated. That's how most of you shouldn't learn. Others learn on the contrary, that you think that the fact that the guy is being buried isn't enough. He's being buried. That's already a kapora for him. He doesn't need, it's not going to be a good enough kapora just that he's naked. So Orom Ela Ema Nikbar Orom Velo Mitzvot means that he's going to be buried without mitzvahs. God, mitzvahs. I said the guy did mitzvahs every single day of his life. He's going to be buried without mitzvahs. No, of course not. Omer Abai means he didn't get that mitzvah. So in other words, if he touched, he was doing Galila and he touched the Sefer itself, he won't get the schar for that mitzvah. That's what it really means. Nikbar Orom Velo Ta Mitzvah. Of course, the Hasidic approaches, as our Rebbe will tell you, that somebody who holds a Sefer Torah Orim, he means he believes, this is Alpi Kabbalah, actually, Bala Kabbalah said, if he believes the Sefer Torah is naked, meaning it's just like whatever it is, the pshat in the Sefer, that's what it means. It's not covered, it's not lavush. Remember, all of this, we understand the way the Zohar puts it, is the stories of the Sefer Torah, that's like the clothing that's on a person's body, you know. So he thinks that this is, no, you're looking at the naked body. This is the real Sefer. This is what it's about. It's about stories. It's about the simple meaning of the psukim. Then that person is Nikbar Aron because, so to speak, his life is naked of any meaning. He doesn't have the whole meaning of the mitzvahs, of the learning that he does. It's actually a beautiful remez. Om Rabbi Yanai Bered Rabbi Yanai Saba Mishmed Rabbi Yanai Rabba, which is a remez to the Kivan, that you have Zaracha, Vizera Zaracha, you have three Deres, Shuv in Atera Mafsekas, because Atera Mechazeret Alaksanya Shela. So Rabbi Yanai, who was the son of Rabbi Yanai Saba, who is the son of Rabbi Yanai, or at least saying over from Rabbi Yanai Rabba, Mutav Tigalela Mitpachat Va'al Yigalel Sefer Torah. If you need to cover, to wrap the Sefer Torah, don't wrap the Sefer Torah by turning the Sefer and pulling the mitpachat around the Sefer that way, which is actually a very good way to tightly wrap something, but it's not covered. make the mitpachat go around the Sefer and leave the Sefer Torah without turning it from side to side. And now we're going to disappoint Sir Richard because he's been waiting for another Hadron. But at this point, we will leave it for the Siyum Bezrat Hashem. And boy, it's going to be a big change from La Yudim Aitao Rav Simcha to Moed Katan. Okay. But at least it follows Nikbar Aram, you know, so we're having the Dinim of Avelut and so on, also in Masechet Moed Katan.
Perhaps Rebbe will talk about the Rosh Hashiva's Nigin.
Ah, Rosh Hashiva's Nigin. That's very true. Yeah. Yeah, my grandfather Zatzal, he did not have a voice really to sing anything. But the one thing that he always sang was, it was actually, believe it or not, the anniversary waltz. While he was learning, this is besides Rosh Hashiva's personal name, but while he was learning, he would sing the anniversary waltz because it was associated with him, with love and with simcha. So he would just like sing the Gemara to it was like everybody was always like shocked, like, what's he singing popular songs for? Very interesting. And when he was tif in his sugya, he had a niggun that he had no idea where it came from, but it came from his head. And he always used to sing that niggun. And nobody knew where it was from. So all of his children and grandchildren, my grandchildren, they go down to their own chasana, and that's the song that's played at the chasanas, the Rosh Hashiva's niggun. Yeah, they always get it wrong, so it was quite subtle, actually. Anyway, yes, thank you, Reb Arnea, for the zikaron.
Can Rebbe please sing it for us?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like much if you don't hear it with his learning, but it would go... He was go over and over and over that with the words of the Gemara, the words of the Rishonim. That was the song he would sing Bishas Iyun. Anyway.
And he would say, Ich bin from the Shayarim and Nish from the Mishayarim.
Barnea, you're terrific. That's right. So since he wasn't able to carry any tune other than his own tune, so he used to say he was a Levi, right? Always sign the Levi. As a matter of fact, his original name was not Ruderman, it was Segel, which was Skan Levia. So he always used to say, listen, I guarantee you, as a Levi, my job was to close the gates, not to be from the Mishayarim. Definitely not. Okay, we're going Mesayim, Mesechet Megillah, and we're four lines up from the bottom. Vayedaber Moshe es bayadei Adonai el b'nei Yisrael. So what does this mean? So remember, this is the closing of the Mishnah that described all of the various kriyas that we had earlier, and that it even went through the details of the kriya on Hanukkah and on Purim, not to mention the kriyas of the Mayadim and Chol HaMoed and so on and so forth. And the end is that Moshe is Vayedaber Hashem, Vayedaber Moshe is Mayadei Hashem. So Rashi understands that what does this mean? That from the Pasuk we learn out that Moshe Tana Rabbanan, Moshe Tikein Lehem Yisrael, Shiyu Shoalim V'Dorshim B'Inyano Shoyom, Hilchot Pesach B'Pesach, Hilchot Atzeret B'Atzeret, Hilchot Chag B'Chag, and, continues Rashi, that basically is referring to all of the issues that we had before. So let's take a look in Rashi and see the tremendous chiddush that we've discussed before in the context of Purim. Lama hutzrach lichtov kan vayedaber Moshe. What is the point over here to specifically say that Moshe said over the mitzvahs? V'chikola mitzvot kulan lo amran Moshe liYisrael. Moshe always said the mitzvahs, of course. Isn't it strange that after Hashem tells Moshe the mitzvah of the Moadim and so on. Then it says, and Moshe said it over. Well, of course he said it over. It doesn't say that about Yibum, Vayadabra Moshe's mitzvahs Yibum Obnei Yisrael. Why not? So obviously the intent over here, says Rashi, is different. Milamed, Shayamidaber imahem, Hilchot komoed umoed bizmanam, Lohodia chukei ha'elohim v'torosav. So this teaches us that he would go over these inyanim at the time in order to tell people the mitzvahs of Hashem. Now, that should be the end of Rashi, because if we're only coming to explain that it's adding the fact that there was an additional dibur to Moshe at the time, and he's only coming to explain that this is why it repeats Vayedaber Moshe, and that it justifies the repetition, then this should end it. So obviously, Rashi, because he continues, as we'll see in a moment, does not believe that this is sufficient explanation. Because if the nature of the mitzvah is that you're supposed to be shomer the inyanim of the chag, so then every mitzvah is like that also, because that is a halacha that we are mazir a person again b'shas ma'isa. We even learned that out from Kabbalah Satori itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Reid, and tell them they can't come up. But Rebbe, he says, they already know that. I explain, go down again, because the halacha is you have to tell a person again b'shas ma'isa. So then that means that it's kolul and kol ha'Torah kula. It's a function of kol ha'Torah kula. So why do we need to say that Moshe Rabbeinu, what, he used to go over with them, the halakhas of kol moed b'moed? Of course he did. That too is not sufficient. But what the point is that this is part of the mitzvah of the kriyas ha'moed, not just the mitzvah of the halakhas of the moed, because the kriya of the moed means something unique. The kriya of the moed is the chavivus of the moed. It's not just a declaration. That's the whole point of Vayikra. So when we're telling me that this is mikra kodesh, it is mechayev a relationship to the moed. That's the point of the moed. That's why it's called regel. That's why it's called pam and mayafu pamayich, and why it's mechayev leiraot and leiraot kemoshus yeraot and all of those in yonim. Because that is a unique thing that has to do with Moadei Hashem, El Bnei Yisrael. The Moadei Hashem have to become the Chagei Yisrael. How does that happen? If it's Moadei Hashem, then it's just a mitzvah. But then there's no kriya to us if it's Moadei Hashem. Oh, continues Rashi beautifully. And in doing that, kiblu v'kimu schar ha-mitzvahs aleihem v'al bneihem v'zeh u'bevah. So as a beautiful closing to Maseches Megillah, where Kimu Vekiblu is the essential of Kabbalah Satera itself, Rashi, as a play on words, says that they were Mekabel and Mekayim, not the mitzvah, but incredibly the schar of the mitzvah. What does that have to do with it? So in other words, the issue is not even being Mekayim the mitzvah. Obviously, if we're learning the dinim of the Mayat, we were Mekayim. We accepted Kol HaTorah Kula. We said Na'aseh V'Nishma. Ah, but there's additions to Na'aseh V'Nishma, aren't there? There's, of course, the original addition of Kimu V'Kiblu, just to make sure that a little mountain over your head does not make a difference to a relationship other than a positive difference, right? That's the first little thing that you had to figure out, which we figured out in Maseches Megillah. But the second thing that you need to figure out is love. Yep, that's what you got to figure out. You have to figure out that the whole story of the Megillah is about the way the world is built of love. And it's a hidden love when it comes to Purim. And it's an open love when it comes to Pesach. That's true. But when it comes to Purim, the idea of what is referred to in the Pasuk of Ahava Misuteret, which as the Rabbeinu Bach explains, that's the Shechina. The Shechina is the hidden love that lies beneath everything. And therefore, when you're Mekayim mitzvahs, it's not enough to be Mekayim a mitzvah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be Mekayim a mitzvah. Insanely, it is a chiyuv gomur, and this we learn out from Avram Avinu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains why he loves Avram Avinu. I love him because he tells his children to go in the Derech Hashem in order for me to give them schar and to give Avram Avinu schar. What? I thought it was all about doing things L'shem Shamayim. That is the ultimate L'shem Shamayim. You think I get anything out of your mitzvahs, you idiot? The only reason that you're supposed to be doing mitzvahs is, as we say to the Ben HaChacham, L'tov lanu kol hayamim, I just want you to be happy. And I want you to have Olam Haba. And I want you to be everything that you can be. So do it for me. Be yourself for me. That's the biggest incredible L'shem Shamayim imaginable. So people walking around all day long, miserable, I'm not worth anything. You know, that is the biggest Chilul Hashem imaginable. And it's like Chas V'Chalila throwing the mitzvahs back in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face. Well, I don't really need your mitzvahs, but I do them because you said I have to do them. Have to do them. Good God. Well, maybe he doesn't say that. But maybe he does. That's all of the chesed and the ilam is essentially for that purpose of your ahava. So if that's the case, you need to be mekabel. And in so being mekabel, you are mekayim, as we were medayek in the Lashon of the Zohar, that kriya is kiyum. It makes a thing exist for you. And by doing that, you create the yontif. And that's what it's all about. And this is a beautiful ending for Masechet Megillah. And therefore, even in Tosfos, Tosfos also has his own throw-in line to get a beautiful ending on the Masechet, where it says the line before was that he's going to end up without a mitzvah if he holds the Sefer Torah directly on the parchment instead of holding it with the mitpachat, and he brings the Pirush of the Rivan, that whatever mitzvah he was being Isaac in at that moment, if he was reading from the Sefer Torah for Kima the mitzvah, but he held it not in a proper way, he loses the scar of that mitzvah. This is the schar of the mitzvah, you see? It's the same thing that Rashi brings at the end, the schar of the mitzvah. And that would be terrible, because that's the whole point. It continues Tosfos, but if achazor b'mitpachat, erech yamim b'yamina, b'smola osher v'kavod, we're talking about the schar of the mitzvah. We're talking about the whole relationship to Torah as being a source of life, as being a source of happiness, as being a source of riches, as being a source of enrichment, as being a source of riches, and he'll show his face. So that gives us a completely different way of looking at it. Now, this mitzvah of Kriya, by Yadabra Moshez Moyadei Hashem, and the list of all of the Kriyas in the Torah at the end here, of the Masechet is quite striking, because the Masechet begins with Megillah Nikreis and it ends with the mitzvah of Kriya. But not stam the mitzvah of Kriya. Every single Kriya in the Torah is defined crazy, is defined bedavka over here in Megillah, which is the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. So this is really an unbelievable ending, because it shows that this concept of Kriya that Rashi is focusing on is actually completely part of our understanding of the nature of the difference itself, which was so fundamental to the Masechet, between Asher Karahu, the Ba'atzavtai Nimach HaMikare, and the issues of Kriya. So then that means that where we have that concept in which we understand that there is a Mikare, which is a hidden level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, we have also an understanding of the way that that so-called, in Einstein's words, anonymous Mikare, as he was makir, the anonymous Mikare, because obviously the structure of the universe is so completely unified that the idea of quantum mechanics, as Einstein explained it, was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remain anonymous. Because all we can ever pick up is statistics. So he remains anonymous. Yes, but that was the whole point. Anonymity is the opposite of the Megillah. Because the whole point of the Kriya of the Megillah, believe it or not, Tachat Asirpad Yale Hadas. And what was that? Tachat Asirpad Tachas Vashti Arusha'a Yale Hadas Zu Esther Hatzadeket. V'hayal Hashem l'shem. L'shem is the opposite of anonymity. Zu mikra Megillah. So that means that the actual Kriya is the shame. We call that even at a Brit Milah, Kriyat Hashem. We call that even at the Bishaberach for the Bat, the Kriyat Hashem. You want there to be a Kriyat Hashem. That's the Kriyat Hashem. No more anonymity. And in fact, that issue of shame is so central throughout the entire story. This is the idea of Kol Ha'Imer Davar B'Shem Omro Mevi Geula Le'Olam, right? The names of the women who are stuck up. There's the Sananya Shemayu. Kol Makom Sheshmo V'Shem Aviv B'Nevias Yadua Shunavi Ben Navi. Unbelievable. Rabbi Shimon ben Pasi, an old story of Divrei Hayomim. We know you changed the names on us, but we can figure out who it is. And so on and so forth. It's all about Shemot. And, not surprisingly, so is Pesach. Because the whole idea of Pesach begins with the story of the Shemot b'nei Yisrael, who somehow don't have names. Shifra, Pua, Ish, Mibet, Levi. She takes the boss Levi. We don't know who they are. People without names, people who have lost their names, which is so central to the idea of Golos HaDibur. And they are anonymous. And the entire idea of the Yetziyah of Mitzrayim is that they recover their shame. But note the difference of the Shemot that we're referring to in the Megillah. Ha'omer Davar B'Shem Omro, or the names that we don't openly state in Divrei Hayomim, or the other aspects of the relationship of shame and kriya, they are hidden relationships. Ha'omer Davar B'Shem Omro is to provide a historic thread throughout all of the development of something and to be able to trace it back from where it came. What is the marker? Whence the yesod of this inyan? And if you drop that, then you drop the connection to what hides and interrelates everything. So basically, we go through three levels. We start off with the lost shemas, and then we go on to finding that shemas are deeply embedded in the nature of reality. And that comes in the course of the Megillah, Omer Davar B'Shem Omro, which then becomes Vaya L'Hashem L'Shem. And that L'Shem is, in fact, La'or Olam, because as it continues on, it becomes Eis Olam Lo Yikaret Ela Yemei Purim. And that has everything to do with this transition, this incredible transition between Purim and Pesach. Both of them are focused on love, but they're two completely different kinds of love. One of them is this Ahava Mesuteret, which is the Mokom Acher, which is a universe embedded in the web that we detect as Chochma, mathematics, and an interrelatedness of a oneness, which is the Big Bang itself that we pretend took place in some kind of distant past, even though past has no meaning in terms of physics, and is simply part of what we are experiencing now. And therefore, we've lost our sense of connection, but it's all us. Always was all us. That's the point. So we have that concept of a name and that concept of love. And then we have the story on in Mitzrayim. And that Mitzrayim is the assertion of love. And that's why we read Shir HaShirim. And that's why we have the Moshcheni Acharecha Marutza. Kisusati Birichvei Paro. There we have that gorgeous sus that all of the susim were running after, right? Jumping into the yam. The difference, of course, is that cycle of time that we have is an incredible cycle of time, because over there we are learning what it is to fall in love. And the fact is that in terms of human development and in terms of national development and in terms of cosmic development, it's a process. We start off as isolates and we only begin to discover that there's a universe out there when we fall in love. And that's the Moshcheni Acharecha Narutza. That's the Kisusati. That's the Zacharti L'Chesed Niurayich. You need to be young and you need to believe in love and you need to have discovered love. And that's what happened in Mitzrayim. And that kind of love is always fraught afterwards with doubts because you're just learning yourself. So how can you really believe in love? So what started out as running after HaKadosh Baruch Hu took thousands of years to turn into Purim and to understand I don't need to be drawn by something outside of me. That love is inside of me. It is me. And that Esther becomes the Makom Acher. And that the Ahava Mesuteret is what we live every instant. That's an incredible moment of maturity, a mature love, which isn't being drawn by outside. is being discovered by the inside workings of the relationship between self and the nature of being. It's a completely different getter. And both are necessary. And we continue to oscillate always. In all our life, we continue to oscillate. Because after that step of being brought out into the universe through the discovery of love and maturation in which we discover ourselves as love. That's the difference, by the way, in terms of the way David HaMelech originally viewed Bris Milah. I don't have a mitzvah to do. And then he realized, that's what I am. I don't need to do it. That is, in fact, a development. That was an incredible development that was part of Purim. And that was Sasayin. Is Sasanochi Alim Rasecha, which was exactly that story in the Gemara about David HaMelech's discovery. But we need to always have that special, unique interrelationship with a lover. And that never changes, no matter how deeply we've discovered the love within ourselves. So from Purim to Pesach and from Pesach to Purim is precisely Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Baruch Atah is speaking directly to a lover. And then Hashem Melech Olam is talking to the Ahava Misuteret. One has to be right in front of you. I don't understand. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere? If he's everywhere and it is imbues the nature of being, how is there Amida Bifnei Hashem? How is there Baruch Atah Hashem? There's never a contradiction between that. If there were, then only when you are in the presence of your lover are you in love? Of course not. But I don't understand. How would I still have that particular love within the love? Absolutely. Everybody knows that that's not a contradiction. But everybody knows that both are necessary. This discovery of love, incredibly, was the nature of what it was that Esther did, not only for herself, not only for Klal Yisrael, and not only for the nature of Kriya. She did it for Achashverosh. That was the tremendous chiddush. He came to love Esther. But the Gemara is Meranes on both types of love. Bikesh litom batam bitula ta'am. Moshcheni acharecha narutza. Young love, first love. Bikesh litom tambu ula. Why would he want to be mevakesh tambu ula? Isn't a besula more fun? It has nothing to do with more fun. It has to do with more mature. What it is that the relationship consists of. What it's focused on, how internalized it is. And that's mamish what the Gemara is being meramis to. That the nature of the bracha, the nature of the transition of kriya, mikra to kriya, and from kriya back to a deeper carry, and the relationship of shame from being first the recognition of the adatim, you will find out that Shmi Hashem, yes indeed, it kriyas yamsuf itself. We don't need to find that out. The aminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdo that doesn't go anywhere until after Kabbalah Sotera. Anyway, as the Rambam says. And then it still needed kimu v'kiblu, and then it still needs the kiblu v'kimu of Rashi at the end. So memela, this sof kol hanisim, as the Gemara says, sof kol hanisim anitanim likateb of Purim relates directly to the first of the nisim. The first of the nisim that we always talk about in terms of zecher litzias Mitzrayim. It's all part of the, not just the cycle of life, but the internal constant oscillations of life between that which remains at the root of all things and that which provides the asiya of the particular moment and the vayadabra meshes me'adei Hashem b'nei Yisrael, each thing bizmanai, and may we indeed be zeicha to being mikra kodesh, being mekayim today's daf with the achilas matzah, not necessarily as bagels, as the daf actually introduced, but to be zeicha to the mitzvah b'shleimus. And with this tremendous joy of being Mekayim, the Kabbalah, Mekayim, Schar HaMitzvahs, Aleinu V'al Baneinu, Bezeh Uveva. So now we can actually be Misayim. And I would say, if you wish to join me, we still have a chance for that Talisker if you're going to go for it. I don't know, Richie, we're challenging you, you know. What do you say? It's still time for Talisker, the last moments. Hadron alak mesechus megillah v'adr chalam, daiton alak mesechus megillah v'data chalam, lo nitna sheminach mesechus megillah v'lo titna sheminan, lo ba'amadein v'lo ba'amadati, Hadron alag mesechet megillah v'hadrachalan. Daiten alag mesechet megillah v'daitachalan. Lo din dasheimin alag mesechet megillah v'lo din dasheiminan. Lo ba'am ha'den v'lo ba'am ha'dati. Hadron alag mesechet megillah v'hadrachalan. Daiten alag mesechet megillah v'daitachalan. Lo nit dasheimin alag mesechet megillah v'lo din dasheiminan. Lo ba'am ha'den v'lo ba'am ha'dati. Yiratzom lufanecha adinu Eloheinu v'lo yavotinu. Shetei toratecha umunatinu b'olam hazeh uteimanu l'olam haba. Chanina bar papa, Rami bar papa, Nachman bar papa, Choy bar papa, Mori bar papa, Raphim bar papa, Rochish bar papa, Surcha bar papa, Ada bar papa, Daro bar papa. Arevna adunoy Eloheinu istivrei Torah, chabefinu mefiyos hamecho beis Yisrael, v'niyeh kulonu anachman v'tzatzeinu v'tzatzei hamecho beit Yisrael, kulonu yodei shemecha v'lo medei Torah techa lishma, mioivaitecha kemeni mitzvotecha kile olamili, yehi libi tamim b'chukecha l'man lo evosh, לעולם לא אשכח פקודך כי בם חייתני, ברוך אתה אדוני למדני חוקך, מודים אנחנו לפניך אדוני אלוהינו ולא יבותינו ששמת חוקנו מיושבי בית המדרש, ולא שמת חוקנו מיושבי קרונות, שאנו משכימים והם משכימים, אנו משכימים לדברי תורה, והם משכימים לדברים בתלים, אנו עמלים והם עמלים, אנו עמלים ומקבלים שכר, והם עמלים ואינם מקבלים שכר, אנו רצים והם רצים, אנו רצים לחיי העולם הבא, והם רצים לבאר שחת, שלמה ואתה אלוהים, תורידם לבאר שחת, אנשי דמים ומרמה, לא יחצו ימיהם, ואני אפתח בך, ירצון מלפניך אדינו אלוהינו, כשם שעזרתנו לסיים מסכת מגילה, כן תעזרנו להתחיל מסכתות וספרים אחרים ולסיימם, ללמוד וללמד, לשמור ולעשות ולקיים את כל דברי תלמוד תורתך באהבה, וזכות כל התנאים והמוראים ותלמידי חכמים יעמוד לנו לזרענו, שלא תמוש התורה מפינו מפי זרענו וזרע זרענו עד עולם, ותתקיים בנו, ותעלך תנחה אותך, ושוכבך תשמור עליך, והקיצות היא תשיחך, כי בי ירבו ימיך, ויוסיפו לך שנות חיים, אורך ימים במינה, בשמאלה עושר וכבוד, אדוני עוז למו ייתן, אדוני יברך את עמו ושלום. יתקדש ויתקדש שמי רבו, מיומדי הוא עתיד להתחדתה ולחיה ימיתה, יבל עשה קייתו מחיי עלמה, ולמבנה קרתא דירושלים ולשכללי חלי בגבה, ולמקר פוחנו נוכרו מן הער, ולטב פוחנו דשמי המיאטרי, מיימליך קודשו בריך ובמלכות הביא קרי, וחייכון ויום יכון וחייכו בית ישראל, בעגלה ובזבן קרי, ויברו אמן.
אמן.
מבורך לעולם ולעולמי עולמיה, יתברך וישתבח ויתפאר ויתרומם ויתנשא, ויתעדור ויתעלה ויתעלל שמי דקודשה בריחו, ויחלקו ברכתה ושירתה ושבחתה ונחמתה דאמירן באומה ואמרו אמן. על ישראל ועל רבנן ועל תלמידיון ועל כל תלמידי תלמידיון, ועל קומנדי עוסקים ביוריית, דיבת רק קדישה דין ודיבכל אתר ויתר, ילהון וכון שלום הרבה חינה וחסדה ורחמים וחיין עריכין ומזוני רווחי ופורקנה מקודם אבואן דבשמיה והרעב אמרו אמן.
אמן.
יהי שלום הרבה מן שמיה וחיים עלינו מהכו ישראל ואמרו אמן.
אמן.
שלום במרומיו ויעשה שלום עלינו ויעקו ישראל ואמרו אמן. סימנדאי ומזלתך ומזלתך וסימנדאי וסימנדאי ומזלתך וסימנדאי ומזלתך ומזלתך וסימנדאי ויהיה Okay, Rabbi, go be Mekayim your mitzvahs, leich v'chol b'leiv tov lachmecha, ki kvar ratza Elohim et ma'asecha. Bezrat Hashem, we should be zocher. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach, Chag Sameach,
Chag Sameach. Thank you so much
for this time.
Chag Sameach, Reddy. Chag Sameach. Chag Sameach.